We still do 7 NUFC Matters show a week for free. But if you want to help support NUFC Matters, then there are a few ways of doing it. Hit the like button on each live broadcast and video. This helps the channel grow. Hit the subscribe button and select the all notifications bell so you don't miss a single show. If you want to help us financially, then you can join the channel using this button with the membership starting at $1.99 a month. Or you can drop us a donation in the chat using a super sticker. We're also looking for sponsors. If you'd like your brand advertised on the flyers for the show and featured during the ad break, then email John at nufcmatters.com to arrange today.
Hush now, city kids, gather round for other men's. Hush now, city kids. When it came to me after so long, I didn't have no choices in the streets where I was from. When I think about the pain, I didn't have no choices. I took what I had sworn. Hush now, city kids, gather round for other men's. Hush now, city kids.
Good evening, welcome to NUFC Matters. Jordy's here, Jordy's there. With me, Steve Wraith. Got George, Kevin, Mitch, Magnus, Alwaleed, and Stu, and everybody in the chat. Welcome. I'm going to start playing with the casualty music, I think, after the latest injury to Newcastle United's team. George, Lewis Miley is the downside of the international break. I don't think we've had it confirmed as to exactly how serious the injury is, unless one of you can correct us. I think we're still down to the speculation side of things as to what it is and exactly how bad it is, but we'll get some confirmation, I'm sure, from the club in due course. The good side of the international break is Anthony Gordon made a wonderful debut, I thought, against Brazil, despite the 1-0 defeat, and then came on last night and had a 15-minute cameo. And I'm wondering, the second question I'll ask is about him, really. Has he done enough to get on the plane to Germany this year? Good to see Anthony Gordon's hard work this season, but Newcastle rewarded at international level. So, George, first of all, another injury, and then your thoughts on Anthony Gordon and whether he's done enough.
Well, isn't it just typical Newcastle United? We're having an awful season, and it gets worse almost by the day, because as soon as somebody comes back, we'll lose another one. And Eddie Howe must be tearing his hair out at what's going on at the moment. Because every time he does something or gets something right, it goes wrong elsewhere. And I feel for young Miley, because he's an important part of his career and establishing himself the way he is as a 17-year-old. And the last thing he needs is a long time out with injury. It can have a demoralizing effect, on some young players. So it's tragic. You're right, we don't really know where it is. Speculation is it could be 2 weeks, could be a month, could be more. Let's hope that it's on the easy side and that it's amendable injury. But for God's sake, my plea to the staff, management, medical staff, get him right before you let him back on the bloody pitch, please, because we don't want another saga of fit, unfit. We really want him put right if he's going to come back. But it's just horrific. You know, and Eddie Howe and his team must be tearing their hair out. It's as simple as that. To move on to Gordon, well, magic. If he's not on the plane to Germany, there's no justice in this world, because he was the star in his debut, which is unusual for a debutant. Made Ollie Watkins look ordinary, for example, and he was the one they're all touting. All the pundits were touting Ollie Watkins. Well, Anthony Gordon was the man. There's no doubt about that. And wasn't it nice to have an international match where the man of the match on both sides was a Newcastle player. When Bruno for Brazil and Gordon for England, it was marvellous to see. But Anthony Gordon was bright. He was dangerous, not frightened to challenge. He didn't look out of place in that company, not at all. And then he comes on for, as you say, cameo 15 minutes last night, and it changes the game. It changes that cameo changed the game. And they got the 2-2 because of that substitution. So if he's not on the plane to Germany in the summer, then there's no justice in this world, because he's the outstanding attacker at the moment, and his ability to go down either wing and to have a dig at the goal with either foot, there's something we don't get used to at Newcastle. And just be a nuisance, but an effective nuisance, not just put himself about, but actually put himself in a purposeful way and make the opposition think about where he is. And they're always looking for him. And no, a brilliant debut, brilliant 15 minutes last night. And as I say, if he's not on the selection for Europe in the summer, then there's no justice in the football world. However, remember who he plays for, Newcastle United. And we knew all about there not being any justice in the world, don't we? With all the things that's going on around football at the moment, and all the tripe that they're hearing, even in bloody Parliament again, about Newcastle United. So, yeah, Miley's sad, heart bleeds for the boy. We don't want him out for a long time, because that would be demoralising for a youngster. But get him right before you stick him back on that pitch, please. And Gordon, fantastic. Proud of him. And remember the nasty little sod that we all hated when he came from with Everton last year, was it the year before? And when he was having a battle with Trippier and setting his book up when everybody was booing him like hell. Well, what a mature season and a half he's had. And to those that are knockers of Eddie Howe, have a look at that lad and see how he's changed since he came to Newcastle United. That's only down to Eddie and his team. They've shook his brains a little bit and channeled his energy and his vim and vigour in the right way, and we're getting the reward for it. So great, Anthony. Hard lines, Lewis.
The knives are out for Southgate, George. Do you think he'll go after this tournament regardless?
Please. Please.
Simple answer. Simple answer. Yeah. Simple question.
Well, yes. If people are saying he might win a tournament, well, I might win a tournament as well, but I can't see it with him, to be perfectly honest. He's shown himself to be too loyal in some ways, but got no no. It wouldn't bother me in the slightest if he wasn't there. Wouldn't bother me in the slightest if he went there.
Kev, we're all of a black and white persuasion on here, but we all have, some of us have different, you know, different clubs that we support internationally. We'll come to Magnus and Stu and Al Waleed in due course. But Kev, the England result, first of all, and what's happened with Lewis Miley. What's your take on Miley, first of all?
Obviously, with younger players, we've had one with Elliot Anderson with the back as well. So with younger players, I'm looking at it from the slant of, is it overuse with this being a 17-year-old boy?
Good
overuse
point.
Playing, I don't know, what he played, say 20 games, for argument's sake, somewhere in that neighbourhood, plus England international duty playing. And with development, of just bone development, growth development, is that played a part into this injury that what we don't know about? So we'll just have to wait and see in terms of what scan results come back as, or what possible recovery programs are going to look like. He could be out 6, 7, 8 weeks. Who knows? Again, it all depends on what they diagnose, what they see, what they look at, and then they can move forward with that injury, like they did with Elliot Anderson and Dan Byrne. They should be used to it now because they've had two of them this season, so they should be just flip the page over and we'll just go do the same thing. Didn't really watch the England game. I watched a little. I watched the Belgium game last night or whatever it was, and that was dreadful, to be perfectly honest. So I watched a little cameos of highlights of Anthony Gordon when I did put the England game on against Brazil for a few minutes. And before I went to work, and I thought Anthony Gordon didn't look out of place one bit. I thought he just looked like an England international, and he should be there permanently. It's a natural progression as a graduate from the under-21s into the England first team. I thought I didn't see his cameo last night, so I can't comment on it, but fantastic for the lad. It's what he's dreamt about, as any Englishman would, to pull on that then three Lions and outside of Stew. And look, you know, he's going to give his all for any club that you put a shirt on for. That's the type of mentality that he has, and I think that's what he's done. Yes, nervousness playing in front of how many at Wembley, at first day, senior debut, he's going to have nerves, obviously, but I thought it was a good performance to where, like George said, if he's not on that plane, and to keep Marcus Rashford not getting on that park, I don't know if he came on last night or not, that says something about his making his claim for Euro 2024.
Okay, Mitch, Lewis Miley, first of all, another injury to add to the list.
Yeah, it goes on and on, doesn't it? I think we'd like to get a bit more information. Time was, I used to say, let's get them back from international duty and in with our own medical team and then reassess it. But I'm not convinced that's necessarily the best plan of action. I'm joking, by the way, but our medical team's been under fire. And I think there's plenty of questions that need asked going forward. Managing players and managing the minutes and the legs, particularly of younger players. We've seen what's happened with Anderson, for example, in his injury in particular. Or we're looking at something similar, whereby he's trying too hard, work too hard, put too much bulk on somewhere and put things under strain. You just don't know. We'll get more information in due course. But, I mean, we're kind of buying any look on the injury front whatsoever at the minute. Just when you think, oh, this is getting better, you get one in and one out. And that's what it seems to be again here. Super frustrating. Frustrating for Miley as well. Because he's earned his right to be in the mix, really. But, you know, perhaps it might be a welcome enforced break in some respects in terms of giving a wee bit of a rest.
And Anthony Gordon's performance for England, you know, I think he might have just sneaked onto the plane ahead of, maybe he's ahead of Jack Grealish.
Be disappointed if he's not on the plane. If you look at what he brings in international football, he did for England what he does for us. He presses both ways. He helps his fullback. He puts the opposition fullback under pressure. He's got pace to burn. But also, and this is the critical thing, I think, for me at an international level. Most international fullbacks these days aren't really what I would call proper fullbacks. Most of them are converted wingers. And Gordon's style of play, once he gets it at his feet, he invites a challenge. He invites people who aren't these days the best attackers. I think we've got an oddity in Kieran Trippier. He's more of a proper fullback, if you ask me. A lot of international fullbacks rely on that pace to get them out of trouble. We can't do that with Gordon because he's got pace to match it. And what he does, if you look at his style of play, once he gets the ball at his feet, he will invite challenges. And that'll create danger. That'll create set pieces. That'll create situations where England could take advantage of and create mismatches in their setup. That's the different thing he brings. That's what Grealish can do as well when he's got the ball at his feet. He invites a challenge. And that's why I think at the top of the international game, they actually sometimes work better than they do in the Premier League because they're playing against fullbacks who are there for that pace and often there for their ability going in the opposite direction. they're not necessarily the best tacklers on the pitch. And there's a potential mismatch where England could gain some significant advantage because we're always decent at set pieces as well.
Interesting news coming from Chris Jagger as well. He says, the Athletic are reporting that Bruno's returning to Tyneside for assessment by Newcastle United's medical staff after suffering a thigh injury while on international duty with Brazil. So
he was taken off time against Spain, but he didn't look injured from what I saw. So you've got to hope that that's a bruise or a dead leg or a contact injury.
Yeah, there's rumours and stories flying around about everything at the moment. So, as I say, we've got to be careful with that. Magnus, commiserations to you, my friend. We were going to give you the big applause. Stu was suggesting we give you the big applause today on the show. The thunderclap, yeah, but it wasn't meant to be for Iceland.
No, I mean, we've been having a bit of a struggle after the 2016-18 success, and to be, you know, not too disheartened, you know, we really weren't supposed to be a part of this playoff if it wasn't for the reason of Russia being pulled of the Nations League. So we are a work in progress, and on the other hand, you know, for the positives, the guy that I spoke about, I'm going to do the same as Stu. I'm going to keep on talking up Albert Gudmundsson, who actually smashed it against Israel, and we're pretty pleased to knock them out. This whole campaign has been tainted by all kinds of wars, and both these games were being played on neutral grounds. On the other hand, we were the away team, and although we got the lead, Albert Gudmundsson scored 4 goals in those 2 games, and he's been really doing a good job. Also with Genoa, he's had over 20 goals, goal involvements now in 31 games, club and country, in really average teams. So I'm going to keep on hitting that iron. on the other hand, yes, we are really disappointed. It takes away my work. I was almost getting ahead of myself at halftime, starting to think about, do we need to go to Germany? I've learned to deal with disappointments, and guess where that happened? lots of disappointments through the times, the team is a work in progress. There's a lot of good things going forward, but we really, really struggled in defense, and you won't believe who scored the winning goal. Of course, it was Mikael Mudrik. Out of all players, he's disappointed me now twice, you know, both with club and country now in a really short amount of time. He's not my best friend at the minute. on the other hand, upwards and onwards. I mean, the next group stage is just the World Cup. Hopefully, we are in with a chance. I hear that there are more teams there. They're always adding more teams to that. So, you know, just have to build on this experience. We've had 3 sort of last minute knockouts through the times, and this will just go into the experience bank. But I think Albert Gudmundsson coming to 26 years old and smashing it with Genoa in La Liga, I think this is an ideal option. We are talking a lot about striking options. He's available for around 30 million, so I hear. And Inter Milan are now after him, and so are Tottenham Hotspurs. I think this is an asset that could be ideal, but you know, you just never know. But I'm going to keep on hitting that iron like Stu does with Czerny and hope for the best take this on the chest get to the next project, which is the World Cup for 2026. Very, very disappointing news about Lewis Miley. I think we are right back down to the bone on the midfield. It's kind of being auto-picked, especially if Bruno is out now. On the other hand, that might be the big break we've been waiting for Anderson. Are you guys aware of his health? Is he all right at the minute? Or
seems to be, yes, seems to be okay.
Yeah.
I mean, then maybe this is his big break and showing us what we all know. He's got the quality, and maybe he will get a run of fixtures now, and show us what he's made of. We all really like the fella. He's got great technique, and he's designed for this Premier League. I would like to see a lot more of him, and really, Lady Luck has not been with us, and it really seems to be a continuing story.
And Anthony Gordon, obviously, you know, made his debut for England, 75 minutes he played. He played another 15 last night. Good to see him, you know, make a solid debut for his international team.
Oh, yeah, I saw the first game. You know, for obvious reasons, I kind of missed the one last night. But what a player he is. And he's really showing the world what he's been showing us week to week, you know. And I'm really impressed with his progress. I was already a bit of a sort of, because of his attitude and his strong character, I was already a sort of a guilty pleasure fan of him when he was still at Everton, even like arguing with us at St. James's Park. It showed a bit of character and his feistiness I kind of like on the field, you know, although, you know, in the right proportion, of course. I adore the player. I think the next shirt I will be labeling him on the back of it, because I mean, I also like a bit of a controversy, and he is not everybody's character. I want to see him on that plane to Germany, and if I know Gareth Southgate right, you know, everybody that once get on the team, they almost never get kicked out. So, you know, hopefully he's there for the rest of his career.
Great stuff, Magnus. Al-Waleed, good evening.
Good evening to you all.
Injuries, again, we're talking about injuries. Lewis Miley now, the latest, it looks as if he could be missing for a few games, you know, potentially, you know, we don't want to speculate, but potentially five or six is what, we're, you know, some of the journalists are alluding to. What's your views on that?
This is a very open topic, this kind of injuries, the whole season, you can see many reasons there for this kind of injuries, long season. But beside all what we discussed about the reasons, I may add maybe the sometimes when you ask, you pressure yourself, you want to prove yourself, you want to take the position on the first lineup in the squad. This extra pressure also another risk factor for these injuries to happen.
And for Anthony Gordon, a good solid debut for England.
Yes, of course, and he's one of the future bright future for England. I wish him all the best, and I really like at the game against Brazil. If you found someone doesn't know about Gordon, I don't think he will say that this is he will be shocked if you know this is his first debut. He looked like more such experienced player. So I'm happy for that, and I wish him for more development in the coming future.
Okay, thanks, Al-Waleed. Stu, oh dear,
what happened?
Scotland.
That's only a friendly man. Don't worry yourself. Yes. See, what have you? You start gloating as soon as Scotland get beat.
I don't gloat. I've got really no kind of affection or attachment to England. It's that, you know, I don't really mind at all. I don't understand the whole rivalry. It's not for me. Yeah, some people are Newcastle and England and go to all the games. I've never been like that. Never been like that. So yeah, it's only a friendly. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, the only thing I can tell you is Magnus has already touched on it. Tierney was man of the match. it was just one of those games where Scotland aren't used to having possession, and they had nearly 80% of the ball. But the key thing about it is putting an opposition net, and they fail to do so. the huffed and puffed, and credit to Northern Ireland. It's easy to blame Scotland's deficiencies, but credit to Northern Ireland. They came with a game plan and they executed it perfectly. The smash and grab deflected goal, and they defended superbly, throwing the ball on the line and everything else. I dare say if it was a competitive game, it might have been different, but it wasn't, and they deserved the win because they got the goal. So regarding Anthony Gordon, I'll see, I'll move this, change the subject
quickly
away from Scotland getting beat again. I think we've so many times praised the guy, but for me, he's a perfect example of what determination, hard work, and the right attitude can get where it can get you. He came, as George alluded to, with I would say not the best of reputations, and he was quite a divisive character when he first joined, but he's knuckled down and he's obviously been challenged, I would say. What do you want out of this game? What do you want out of your career? And how do you think you're going to do it? And how can we help you? And he's taken everything on board, but he couldn't have got where he is, where he's at the moment, without his own attitude being 100% spot on. And I think it's very commendable for the way he's turned himself around. He's obviously got a happy life now. He's just had a baby. Well, his girlfriend has just had a baby. And everything's good for him. So he prefers a quiet life, which is not what the media want you to have said about him, but he's a quiet lad, isn't he? He's very articulated as well. And the game I watched against Brazil, I said on the professionals that I thought he was the best player for England. I didn't watch last night's game. I was too busy hiding behind curtains and everything watching the Scotland game. But I'm sure he acquitted himself well, and he's given Southgate food for thought. Even reading through social medias and in the press, everyone's been very spoke highly of him. So fair play to him. He's had his chance and he's grabbed it. And that can only benefit us. That's the whole idea of internationals. It can only benefit us. If he wants to stay in the squad now, he's got 10 games to rip up the left backs, the right backs, centre halves, whichever way he's, wherever he's playing, and put the yards in for Newcastle, which he's done all season.
Okay, halfway through the show, time for the ads.
A big thanks to all our sponsors, Skips and Bins. Go to their website, skipsandbins.com. Email inquiries at skipsandbins.com or telephone 0800 25 45 253. Easy contract free and pay as you go waste collection. Thanks to Mr. Vicky's Sauces, handmade in Cumbria. Go to their website, mrvickys.co.uk. Email info at mrvickys.co.uk or telephone 01768 210 102. Thanks to United Group Travel. Go to their website, unitedgrouptravel.com. Email info at unitedgrouptravel.com or phone 01670 632 460 or mobile 0791 666 4174. They're a local company from Morpeth and there are no strangers on our tours, just friends you haven't met yet. Big thanks to Media Arts for all the help with the video side of things. And if you want to subscribe to the channel, hit the subscribe button under the video. Click the thumb up to like the video and click share to share to your social media. If you want to help the channel financially, you can pay a one-off £25 fee. You get a cup, a scarf, a pen and a membership card and entry into the NUFC Matters monthly draw. Email john at nufcmatters.com for more details. Or if you've got a smartphone, scan the QR code now and it takes you straight to the membership pack. We also support the food bank on this channel. Go to nufcfansfoodbank.co.uk and you'll find the matchday bucket. You can make a donation virtually today. You can also find us on iTunes, Spotify and other podcast providers. We also do events during the year. NUFC Matters Live will be at the O2 City Hall on Friday the 2nd of August for an evening with Rob Lee, One Night in Antwerp. Tickets start at £15 and you can get them from Ticketmaster.co.uk. An evening with the entertainers takes place on Friday the 24th of January 2025 at the Tyne Theatre and Opera House in Newcastle. Telephone 0844 249 1000 or visit the website tynetheatreandoperahouse.uk to buy tickets today. You can also catch me on the Northeast Footy Breakfast Show, live on Toon Radio, weekdays 7 till 9 a.m. on DAB, smart speakers, and the toonuk.com.
And don't forget that the end of season due is 20th of July at the Irish Centre. Tickets from NewcastleLegends.com or NUFCMatters.com. Tickets priced at £10. Super Matt and Gibbo will be live on stage, as will George, and the Long Sands are doing an acoustic set in aid of Dementia Matters. Tickets are at £10. Get yourself along and meet a few of the guys at the end of the season. And the event, the Peter Beardsley event at the Irish Centre, is on sale now on Woucher. Tickets are just over £18. So get yourself onto Woucher today. And I've stuck a link in the chat for the NUFC Matters auction, which has got two more days to go. Some really good signed items on there. If you want to jump on, make sure that you place a bid. Some real bargains that can be had over the course of the next 2 days. So do not miss out. Thanks to everybody who has supported that over the first 3 weeks. We've got time for a couple of these. Barry says, question for George. Who is the best foreign player you've seen play, George? I would have loved to have seen George Robledo, he says.
George Robledo was brilliant, yes. Best foreign player, it's got to be David Ginola for me. He had everything, you know. He was 6 foot plus. There was no pushing him off the ball. The only way he could get it off him was to foul him. He had pace, and despite the fact he was left sided, he could play either side. He could shoot with either foot, as he demonstrated a couple of times against Manchester United. So. Yes, I love George Robledo. I mean, imagine having a forward line now, like Robledo and Milburn. One scored 32 goals and the other scored 28. Just imagine what we'd do with the Premiership if we had two like that. No, David Ginola is the straight answer.
Okay, and Blue Room Boy says, ask George his favourite England kit of all time, seeing that England kits are talk of the town at the moment.
Yeah, well, I love the World Cup kit, the World Cup winning kit. I thought that was it was smart and clean, no frills, no faff. It was just a lovely football shirt. Slight bit of sentimentality as well. Happened to be the year I got married.
Great stuff. We'll do more Ask George next week. Okay, Ian's in the chat. He paid for a question. He's clearly that annoyed about people having a go at Amanda Staveley. He says, question born from the chat, but why do people think that a small section of Toon fans hate Amanda Staveley? She deserves a bloody statue for me. And I think this came from Andy's comment earlier. He goes, do we think after Amanda's embarrassing and humbling day in court last week that her character has been tarnished? If her appeal fails, do you think her position as Newcastle United director owner is untenable? I've got to say, Ian, I don't think Andy hates Amanda Staveley. So, you know, first and foremost, hate's a very strong word. And I've got to think, I don't think anyone hates Amanda Staveley. You know, I got to know her very well. Mitch got to know her very well virtually. Steve Hastie got to know her very well virtually as well over the course of the takeover. Steve and Mitch have had the, you know, and I think Stu as well might have been there. Might have had the delight of meeting her when she came across to Dubai. Yeah, was it Dubai or Bahrain?
Riyadh.
So Saudi, yeah. That's right. Yeah. So there we go. So, you know, we've got a bit of a connection with Amanda. She's a lovely, lovely woman. I wouldn't put a statue of Amanda Staveley outside St. James's Park. I think that's a bit over the top. But, you know, she definitely deserves thanks and, you know, a bit of respect from Newcastle fans for the fact that she facilitated the deal. She helped facilitate the deal. PIF were the ones who came in and put the money where the mouth was. But ultimately, Amanda and Mia Dad were the face and the driving force behind getting Mike Ashley to sell the club. And we should be forever thankful for that. So, George, what's your views on this? Because, I mean, again, well, I think this is Ian getting sucked into a bit of social media stuff that, you know...
People... Yeah, let's shift the court case thing. That's business.
It's nothing to do with us. That's our own personal...
No, but even so, it's business, and it happens all the time in business. And she's well capable of looking after herself, as she showed Lloyds Bank that she could, because she's won a few as well as losing a few. the important thing for me, and I think for most Newcastle fans, is she wears her heart on her sleeve. The lady knows, we know the lady loves Newcastle United. We know the lady loves Newcastle and what it stands for. And that's why she stuck with her. Even Anne recognised that. And there's nothing Geordie's like more than somebody that fights the corner. And she, that lady certainly would fight our corner if push comes to shove. The things have changed. They've changed because she wants them to change. And, you know, if that's the direction she wants to go. I'm still tipping you now that to get this FFP thing sorted out, it'll be Amanda Staveley that does it, is my view. So, you know, no, I don't think, believe for one minute that that anybody hates Amanda Staveley. Mike Ashley might be a bit sick of her, but as I say, wears a heart in her sleeve, and when somebody does that, very publicly, Newcastle people take them. You know, she's as much an adopted Geordie as anybody could be. And she holds her own in very, very tough company. Look at the LIV golf thing. Her and me, our dad, sorted that out. You know, everybody said, oh, that'll never happen. Well, it did. It only took them a couple of months, where the rest of, they'd had a couple of years round about it, and it took them a couple of months to sort it out. So, no, I don't think anybody hates her, and certainly not in Tyneside. She's somebody who deserves the accolade of Dr. Geordie, because she's stuck with it. She's stuck with the project from when she got involved and hasn't gone away. And there were times when she must have felt like it, when she kept getting knocked back by Ashley and his crew, and she didn't let her down. So, if nothing else, not a stat, you know, but gratitude, heaps of it, and certainly from me, I nothing but pride at what the lady's done for my football club and for my town. So no hate, lots of love and respect for the lady.
Yeah, Andy Ford says, I absolutely do not hate Amanda. I'll be forever grateful to her. Ian says he needs this holiday that he's going on. You've never mentioned a holiday, Ian. Kevin says, the day she brought our club, I'm not going to lie, I cried. And Mark Byers says, I'm absolutely grateful to Amanda Staveley for the takeover, but I do feel that was her job done. I'd prefer football people in total control of the club, though. Act big to be big. Some of her comments are a bit tin pot, he says. For me, she's pure gold, says Kevin. And saved our club, and that's worth Amanda and Sir Keith, says Tim. And Gary says, do you think Amanda can sort me rental books? I think she's got other things in mind, Gary. Other than David Baird says she should have the freedom of the city. And that's that. So, Kev, yeah, I mean, I've seen negativity, but, you know, we all get negativity if we're on social media. It doesn't matter who you are. If you know, I haven't used this phrase for a while, but you've got your head above the parapet, but you're going to get some stick.
Of course you are. And again, it's George has hit every nail possible on the head. You know, gratitude, thanks, all of the above. And this is a separate entity to Newcastle United. But since it's Newcastle United, we're going to get dragged in every story that or business partner, owner, whoever's going to get dragged into it all, and we're going to go along with it. So, yeah, I mean, again, just echo what George said, really, and that her business dealings outside of it take care of themselves. I'm sure she'll have a place on boards or in executive roles further down the road. For how long, that's up to others with a higher pay grade than me, in our opinion. So just let that play out, you know. Like I said, it's just grateful. I met her here in Atlanta, and she was gracious with her time and gracious with a lot of people. So she's like, at that point, she was the face of the club, like we've said. But yeah, I mean, just let that business deal or court issues, whatever, that's nothing to do with football. So I'd rather talk about football and outside entities, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
Stu, there is negativity about Amanda. We keep losing people because their internet connection, sadly. So this is why it is a bit like Celebrity Squares tonight. But this is what happens when you do a worldwide show. But yeah, Stu, your thoughts on Amanda. She's been a massive, massive part of this takeover. We're 2 years in, into the third year now. You know, she's got her own issues going on away from the football club, but you know, that still doesn't mean that, you know, people should be getting on a case.
I just have to reiterate what George said. I think we should be forever in a debt for her perseverance and her, the way she's seen the potential in Newcastle, and thankfully she had the connections and the mindset to see it through. So, and the benefit is now all our court cases are done. It'll give her more time to focus on Newcastle, and that could only help us because, as we know, behind the scenes, it seems to be like when the cat's away sort of scenario. So hopefully the cat's back and she starts sorting the mice out. So keep her. Absolutely. I think Amanda has been it for this club. We probably won't realise the work she's done until maybe 10, 20 years down the line.
Al Waleed, you've had the pleasure of meeting Amanda Staveley. You know, she does deserve a lot of praise, doesn't she, still, I think?
Of course, Steve. And I blame FIFA days. All those FIFA days, people get as Sir George says, just business. And actually, I'm not really following this cases. I'm just focused on football. I can't see anyone hate Amanda. Maybe two persons could hate Amanda, which he will be Mike Ashley and Steve Bruce, maybe. That's all.
Magnus, your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I almost wanted to make it a red day when, what was it, the 7th of October, you know. I will never forget what she's done for the club. She already tried to do it twice with Sheikh Khaled before in the questioning. I think none of this would have happened without her hard work. And she's a Yorkshire girl, and I really, really appreciate her. For me, she's an angel that came and saved us from really, really dark and horrible times. And I will never forget what she's done for the club, regardless of what happens in the future. I will never forget what she's done for the club. And I think she presents herself well. She talks about them as custodians of the club, and she speaks with such respect. I called her, I was watching a lot of Game of Thrones at the time, I called her the Queen of the North when those speeches were coming out from her. I really, really adore the lady, and I'd be greatly honored if I get the chance, like the rest of you, to tell her that. You know, I hope she's listening. Whatever is happening, and stay off. You know, this is a minority of fans. I really hope they bury their thoughts if they feel any kind of hatred to her. They must not really support the club.
Well said, Magnus. Mitch, your views on Amanda? You've had the privilege of getting to know her quite well. You know, and criticism, listen, we can all be the critical friend. We keep saying it on here, the critical friend of managers, of players, of, you know, of owners. But, you know, she's got an exemplary record, I think, at the club. Oh, you're on mute, Mitch. You're on mute. You must have muted yourself.
Because she wears a heart on her sleeve, she lays herself open to potential criticism at times. And that's anybody who does that is in that situation. You know, you and I would probably have known within 30 seconds of a Zoom call whether it was going to be good news or bad news, just from my body language. And it was quite obvious where the conversation was heading within 30 seconds, quite easy. and that's the kind of person she is. I think the elephant in the room here is, after this season and where we're at, we know within that ownership group, Amanda and my dad were always the poor relations. And so when it come to investing in the club and putting cash in, they were having to find it in different ways. And in some respect, that's how their shares now have been diluted a little in terms of the Rubens adding cash and PAF adding cash in situations where they can't and they find it difficult too. And I think we're at a bit of a nexus point about where does the club go, who is making the statements and who is in charge, who is the leader, who are leading. And I think a little bit of that's frustration in that for people who made a heck of a lot of noise on our behalf for years and have been quite open in that communication. Since Christmas, we've had very little. And that's stark contrast to what we've had before. And that's not to say that they're disinterested and they're not involved, but it raises a question, what's changed? Or what is about to change? Or what is changing? And I still think that if, for example, they were removed from the ownership group, they'd be retained in a more directly employed by the club kind of way, because of their involvement and their enthusiasm and the drive that they had to keep things going when everybody else and their dog was telling them it was over and we knew it wasn't. And I think that's possibly a little bit of what people are getting frustrated with at the moment. Anybody in big business goes through periods where they feel like they're under fire for one reason or another. And she seems to be going through that at the moment. You know, she's had a battle with Mike Ash. She's had this battle. There's been others as well. Yes, they're not great optics. But again, she comes out with those court cases with everybody saying one thing, that when she gives it evidence, she wears a heart on her sleeve and she's really passionate about it. And I don't think that's a bad thing. That's not something she should be criticised for at all. But I do think that's where it comes from, that little bit of jumpiness, if you will, is because we've had, bar from their dad trying to tell them to make a bit more noise in the ground, almost radio silence since November. And that's possibly getting to one or two people. Like we touched on, you know, through the week, we feel like we've got on board the train and everybody's leading, but the leader's got off at the last stop and we don't know where we're going at the moment. And so I think as people like Darren Neils and Peter Silverstone come into their positions, they should be taking more of that sort of face of the club stuff on their shoulders. And I also think we'll have to be aware of agendas within the press that will continue to go like they have before. It's not just geopolitics, it's in some cases quite personal. And they'll do everything to paint. Everybody loves, at the minute, it's black or it's white, it's this or it's that. There's no nuance, there's no in-between, there's no ability to you know, to understand and recognise certain situations. And I think she falls foul of that a little bit too.
Okay, last topic. We started with international football. George, we'll finish with it. Alan Shearer in his latest podcast says that if Gareth Southgate goes this summer, Eddie Howe, his name, will definitely be in the frame for the England job. Would you, you know, what would you say? Because the timing of it, if it did happen, and this again it's hypothetical, but if it did happen, would you be disappointed to see him go? Would you, you know,
I'd be disappointed for Eddie Howe, because I don't think he's an international manager. He's a manager that likes a team. He likes to have a group of people to work with on a daily basis, and not just every now and again. So I don't think the job would suit him. But if he decides to, well, good luck to him. But I don't think it's a job for him. It strikes me as somebody that enjoys working with people on a daily basis. And it just wouldn't be him. Disappointed? Yes, I would be disappointed because at the end of the day, he was given an opportunity. Yes, he's taken it with both hands in some ways. But even in his difficult times, I've never known a manager. Even people like Bobby Robson, in certain circumstances, the Gallagher corner and all the rest, as I call them, have given Eddie Howe that total support. They're very, very little. Even when things are difficult on the pitch, very few people around me when I sit in the stand are having a direct go at Eddie Howe. Maybe it's about the timing of his substitutes, but nothing else. So we're pledging loyalty to him. I hope he would have a little bit loyalty to us and tell the FA to do one. But I honestly don't think the job would suit him. I think he's a manager that needs to have players there around him, work with them on a daily basis and not on an occasional basis like the England manager. Actually, Steve, I owe you an apology. Ian didn't tell us about his holiday. Emily did.
Oh, God. Don't start that again. Kevin, I mean, you know, it's Alan Shearer. It's a podcast. He does his podcast week in, week out now. It's a great one. Peter Beardsley interview was fantastic. Yeah. From your point of view, I mean, you know, we have been linked, as Mark Byers says, with, you know, Mourinho, of course, has been linked with Newcastle many times. And, you know, people like Mancini, of course, available. There's going to be other managers available in the summer. But is the summer too late? Because, I mean, I guess, you know, when the Euros finish, should England get to the final, you're going to be talking, you know, in the July pre-season starting in a complete nightmare situation for anyone who has a manager at a club, suddenly loses a manager and then has to bring one in.
Oh, brilliant point. Eddie's not ready for an England managerial role, and I completely agree with George in that he wants to work with players daily. He's a coach, not a oversight of managing. He's an actual coach and he wants to be on the field every day making players better versus going to a game here, going to a game there, analysing, viewing, watching, developing a squad over a longer period of time. So I think, yes, maybe down in the future, yes, I could see that actually happening when he's not mature, but in terms of his, where he feels he needs to be in his managerial career. But I think, like you said, Steve, that the transition of 10 days to get a new one in, to get another pre-season going, and there's different philosophies and different ideas, that will upset the apple cart massively. So I think, yes, for maybe 5-10 years down the road, but not right now. I think he's well and truly cemented his position in that dugout for a long, long period of time.
Stu, your thoughts on Eddie Howe? I mean, if he ups and leaves in the summer, it will be a huge, huge issue, I guess, for Newcastle. Big, big, big upheaval.
3-1 in Newcastle. Isaac, work. Yeah. Now, of course, Eddie Howe's going to be linked with the England job. It's who else is there of an English persuasion? Graham Potter isn't in a job. Can't seem to find a job. There isn't many standout candidates, so he probably is the standout candidate, but it's a compliment to the work he's done at Newcastle that his name will get mentioned. But just as the lads have said there, he's too much hands-on, isn't he? I think he's maybe 10, 15 years too young for that job, and hopefully he doesn't get offered it. And if he does, then he should show the same loyalty that he was asking Mr. Ashworth to show. And say, no, I'm staying in Newcastle. I'm not even halfway through this project yet. And I've got trophies to win. This is my job. This is where I'm getting paid. And I don't have eyes for anyone else. So I'd expect them to stay anyway. So that's as much as I want to say about England. Again.
Yeah, fair enough. Al Waleed, Eddie Howe, is he a serious contender for the England job?
Of course, and as Kevin says, it's maybe after 5 years. As we can see that Eddie Howe develop and become better, regardless of the other issues, but he's improving, and I believe if maybe if he wins something, at least in Newcastle, he will be a better candidate because he needs the trust of the players. So it's better to go for England and having a good CV that accomplished with at least a trophy. So after that, we could talk about he will be fit or he will be suitable for England. So he definitely after a few years, he will be a strong name. Now it's very early, as the reason I've mentioned.
Mitch Chipper suggests, could he do both jobs, Newcastle and England? Mark Bayer says no.
I don't think sharing an international role's ever really worked for anybody who's done it. I'd be amazed if Howe's name isn't under consideration, because in terms of English coaches, who else is there? You know, who would the FA turn to once Southgate's gone? Is it Lee Carsley who's doing the under-21s at the minute? That's not a name that fills me full of excitement and glee and World Cups and European Championships, really. I don't know what he's like as a coach. He might be a fantastic coach, but doesn't strike me as the kind of manager England would want in for the national team, really. So Eddie Howe would have to be in the conversation, you would think. It depends on how much you read into this. Is there a desire for change at Newcastle United? And with Southgate moving on, would it suit all parties? Which does seem a bit baffling to me. I get why people might say that. But Eddie's come out time and time again and talked about where his commitment is. And I think he would feel very much like he was leaving unfinished business if he was to walk away from Newcastle United without actually putting some silverware in the cabinet and proving to the world what he's worth as a manager.
Magnus, Eddie Howe for England.
Yeah, I mean, it's a part-time job. And like the fellas have been saying, you know, he likes to work day in, day out. And, you know, I said on the first podcast that I was on, I would like to see him be judged by his work within like 10 years. We had a really, really hard season with absolutely no luck. I'd rather see Graham Jones take the job on. I don't know if that's... that's an option, but he's already been involved with the team, so why not take a little bit of risk, you know? On the other hand, Benitez and Mourinho are available. Something like that could be successful. But I see Eddie Howe staying there for... I would like him to stay for 10 years, you know, and be judged from his work after that time. Apparently, we're going to be spending a bit in the summer, and I really would not like to see him anywhere else but at James's Park in the beginning of next season.
Okay, we're going to get predictions from Magnus, from Al Waleed, from Stu, and from Kevin, because Mitch and George will be on the Amigos. So, Magnus, West Ham at home this weekend. What is your prediction? How do you see the game going?
I see it as a 3-1 victory. Our midfield is pretty auto-picked at the minute. I'd really like to see Anderson start. There's a big question on the right flank as well, on the right-back position. I don't know how well Trippier is, and Tino will probably start the game, if I'm not mistaken. I'm seeing this as a convincing victory. Let's not forget, 10 games is like quarter of a season. We can still rally the troops and have a good finish to the season. Europe must be a goal by now. And let's get behind the team and away the lads. 3-1 for me.
3-1 for you, Al Waleed.
We always do better after, we'll do great after break. So I'm going 2-1 Newcastle.
2-1 to Newcastle, okay. Stu, I presume that Magnus and you are in agreement.
Yep, 3-1. I'd said Isaac, Lascelles and Willock. It's a huge game. I know we've said that so many times this season, but if we lose on Saturday, the ones above us can get away. Whereas if we win on Saturday, if you look at the fixtures the other teams have got, it'll put us right in the mix. And I think 7 would be definite. 6 might be a bit too far, but I wouldn't mind just taking 7s now. If we're getting 5 Champions League places, that'll still be a Europa Cup slot. And the mini league that we've referred to often, West Ham, Wolves, Brighton, and Chelsea, we need to be making sure we'll come top of that. And with the running fixtures we've got, I'm sure we're more than capable of doing it. The main play for me is making sure that Isak stays fit, because without him, we don't have a goal scorer. With him, I think we'll finish in Europe. So 3-1 for Saturday.
Kev, over to you, mate.
That's not going to be easy. I think West Ham will approach this like an away European game. I think they'll just sit in and play on the counter-attack and make it difficult, make it boring, make it bitty, stop our potential flow within the game of how we want to play. But I'll go with not a full pen. Well, it's not a pen, it's a 2-1. I think we'll win, but it's a 2-1.
Great stuff. Thanks to everybody in the chat. Thanks to the moderators. And thanks to the lads. Thanks to George, to Kevin, to Stu, to Al-Waleed, Mitch, and to Magnus. I'll be back tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, with Supermac and Gibbo. Have a good evening, whatever you're doing. Take care, lads.
Good to see you, lads.
Happy Easter, lads.
Thank you.